Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have a very special friend of the show with me, and I can't wait for you guys to hear her story. Right now, it's pumpkin everything in celebration of my favorite month of all time. And to crank up the party even more, we're hanging with our very own resident, Shay, and spreading some darkness, some magic, and pretty much everything in between. But before we do, major thanks to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and so much more. Hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, on the show site at themediamatters.com, or, you know, in your dreams, in your waking hours, whatever, because I like to stalk you guys. You know how I love you. Make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Tag me in your post and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. And to be clear, all of those posts will be coming from me. The show doesn't, you know, just message you guys on its own. I hope not. Fingers crossed. Haven't checked out the site yet? It's up and has show notes and the backlog of every Media Matters episode there ever was, with so much more to come very, very soon. And if there's anything in particular you guys want to see, make sure you let me know, because all of this is for you after all. So many of you guys have asked about my favorite things and where I get my such and such and what brand I use, and I have the ultimate answer. I have an Amazon store just for you guys. That's right, all of the goodies I use on a regular, the smudge kits, the frankincense and myrrh incense, the crystal handbook, the whatever and the whatever, you can find it on your own now. Check it out at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters, and I'll make sure I also link it in the show notes for you. It's the haunting Halloween season, and I'm celebrating by reading all of your ghost stories. It is never too late to submit your real life ghost story, you guys. Jot it down and email it to me at themediamatters@gmail.com. Send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or hello, just call the show. That's right, you guys. You can leave it on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118 to be part of the action. I will personally read and reply to your email or DM and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your real-life ghost story right here on The Media Matters. But remember, there is zero pressure to be on the show. I am more than happy to read it on your behalf if that's more your jam. This is just good, clean, scary October fun. Would you rather talk than write? Yeah, me too. You can call the show at 850-203-0118 and make sure you leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let that ghost story roll. As a reminder, these messages will be played on the air, so make sure you tell me if you would prefer to keep it private. So make sure you stretch, warm up the dialing finger, and start pressing. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes chats, all things Ouija board, and more at your little fingertips? Just kidding. You guys know me better than that. I'm scared of little fingertips. Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to the fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. What's better than a gold star on the chalkboard? Why, 5 stars, of course. Make sure you post your rating and review of your favorite shows anywhere you listen to your podcasts, and make sure your faves get seen and let your faves see how much you guys love them. It is uber important. It takes a couple of minutes and means the world to every single podcaster and creator and whatever else. You guys know what I mean. You know what I mean. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only Alabaster. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook, Alabaster is great for not wasting time on what cannot be changed. Here's what we need to do. We need this delicious alabaster spraying out of every fire hydrant, like on the double. Physically, alabaster is thought to be beneficial for digestive disorders, heart problems, relief in long-standing conditions, and so much more. Emotionally, it eases the transition at times of unwelcome change or loss. This little guy is perfect for the root chakra and makes forgiveness easier if bitterness is what's holding you back. For more on alabaster, and trust me, there's a lot more to know, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, which I'll link in the show notes for you. You can also find information on alabaster using any resource that resonates with you. It's time to slip on your auric wetsuit, set your intentions, and tap into your intuition, because we're diving into some deep waters and it is saucy. All right, friends, as promised, we have a friend to the show with us tonight, and I am bringing you the one, the only Shay, who is going to share so much cool stuff with us and give us all the ins and outs of what it's like to be her and her world and all that good stuff. And very cool ghost story. In case you haven't heard it, make sure you check it out. But let's welcome our friend. Shay, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Of course. I'm fantastic. I'm very good because I get to hang with you. So Shay and I became friends on Instagram, and we interact like every day, I want to say pretty much every day. And one of the things I look forward to every single day, well, at least the weekdays, because I don't think you do it on the weekend, but on the weekdays, like every single morning, I look at Shay's tarot reading for the day, and it is always so incredible. And you have an incredible way. It's like very easy. It's like you deliver it in a conversation, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you write the way you speak.
Yes.
And it comes across like so fluid. And those messages just, they get me every day. I'm like, oh my God, that's so on point. I love it.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes. And I don't hold anything back, which is why, you know, shameless plug here. This is why, you know, I do go by the Ornery Oracle mm-hmm. on Instagram, and I'm only on Instagram. I can't Facebook. I can't. Like for me, I don't resonate with Facebook, and I figure if you need to find me, the universe will make you find me.
Right. So you have shared some of the, in our personal interactions, when we're DMing each other and whatnot, you've shared some stuff. You know a lot of my stuff from the show. So mm-hmm. what do you do now? Like, I don't even know where I want to start because there's so much good stuff for you. So let's start with this. At what point did you know that you had any kind of intuitive abilities? Because you are like mega intuitive, right? How would you classify yourself?
Mega, probably. Let's see. I would say that probably a more accurate question would be is when did I start to learn to trust it? Because I remember some of the earliest conversations with my grandmother saying to her, I would say weird stuff when I was a kid, so you'd have to forgive me. I grew up in a very small town, and I used to tell her that right before I would fall asleep at night in her bed, diagonally, you could see into a front bedroom of her house. Her house was like a rectangle. And right before I'd fall asleep, I go, oh my God, Nanny, there's men in the other bedroom. I was little. I was like three or four. Later, I found out that was my grandfather's bedroom. Like, oh, hey. And you would always go in there and it was always colder. And I would remember I would like run in that bedroom, and then like it's where our dolls were. And I just really wanted to hurry up and run out. I could just go in and really want to run out. I used to be afraid of her blinds being open or looking in windows at me. And then come to find out that there was a lot of Native Americans that her house was built, and on the land where she built her house, they found a lot of, you know, Native American, you know, weaponry and things like that. Right. More than just arrowheads, like all kinds of things they used to scrape hides with and all that kind of stuff. So there's that.
So it sounds like you knew at a really young age then that this wasn't typical for, I guess, I don't know how many kids you got to hang out with, but did you realize?
None. I didn't hang out with any kids, but I would say things that, like, my mom told me that my grandmother and I never really had to talk to each other. It's like we could just look at each other and she knew what I needed. Mm-hmm. I remember being very small and having deja vu. I was sitting in a chair, and it used to be our high chair. So I was still little because my butt could get in it, you know, and I was sitting in the kitchen. I remember looking at my grandmother going, Nanny, I've seen this before. I've seen this before, and it went on for a while. And she was like, what? Okay, whatever. You know, weird kid. There was a time when my mom was dating my stepfather. So I had to have been 5 because they got married when I was 5. And we were going, they wanted to go on a boat. I'd never been on a boat. Well, in this lifetime, I'd never been on a boat that I knew of.
Right.
But I was like, I cried. I was standing on my grandmother's porch and I was like, I don't want to go. Don't make me go on the boat. I don't want to go on the boat. Please don't make me go. And I'm crying. And my mom, my grandmother's like, just go. Be nice. Just go. And mom's like, well, you don't have to go. She said, it'd be nice if you went. And I'm just like in 5-year-old temper tantrum, like irrational. I don't want to go on the boat. And then, you know, so finally my grandmother was like, it'll be fine. Just go on the boat. That boat broke down in the middle of a river.
Oh, my gosh.
And we were stalled in the middle of the river. And I couldn't swim. And we were stalled in the middle of the river in a broken down damn boat.
Was your grandmother there?
No. My grandmother was back at home. And that's where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was me and my mom and my soon-to-be stepfather and my sister. And I could not swim. And I was like, not ever getting on a damn boat again.
Like I tried to tell you.
Right. And that's how it was. Like, that was a lot of stuff with me as a kid. Was like, I tried to tell you. Didn't I just say that?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody listens to Andrew. I don't know. Like, you know, like, hey.
Mm-mm.
So my grandmother used to tell my mother that if you ever lose anything or you can't find something, just ask Shay and she will tell you exactly where it is.
No kidding.
Still true to this day.
So if you need to locate something, what's your process for tapping into it?
You know what? I don't know. I would love to tell you that I know, but I could just go, you know, if you said, hey, you know, Shay, I lost my ring. I could immediately get a picture of, well, I kind of see it in this, I don't know. It looks like a, you know, this or that or the other thing. And if you look behind something, it should be over there somewhere.
That's incredible.
And weird. But yeah, I can still, that I can still do.
So when, so if I were to ask you to help me find something right now, like, could you do that from, you know, remotely?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I've only ever interacted with one other person that could do that. And this person was doing, it was almost like a gallery type setting. And so, you know, she would talk to a couple or something and say, oh yeah, in your home, I mean, she would describe their house to a T and then say, yeah, so this is what, you know, I'm picking up and whatever. It was always like spot on.
Yeah, no, I'm not that good.
but pretty damn, you know, close, pretty close.
But you know, if it looks like a drawer, then, you know, and as we know, just anybody who does this, they'll tell you that, you know, what we do, we can only work with our frame of reference, you know? Right. So if it looks like a drawer to me, okay, it looks like a drawer. And I can tell you that it's, you know, I don't know what your kitchen looks like, but I might be able to tell you that it's in something that looks like a kitchen,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. So
that's incredible. So
that would trip me out, I think, if I could get that specific.
Yeah,
I would,
it was amazing.
I walked into somebody's house and went, I've seen this before. I would be like, peace out, bichachos.
Yeah.
See you later.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
So you were saying, you know, you were able to do this when you were young. Your mom said, yeah, if you ever lose anything, just ask Shay. Did you, when you were little or as you got older or now in your adult years, do you know if your grandmother, your mom, your sister, anybody else in your family has any of these abilities?
So, or, you know,
like, on any level?
Gosh, it's so hard to say because, like, my grandmother used to always tell me that if she had something, if she had a boo-boo, no, if she was hurt or something like that, she always wanted me, even as a small child, to take care of her because she would always say that I had just such healing hands. My mom is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I by trade. Sort of. You just kind of get there.
Yeah.
So my mom is a nurse, and I truly believe that there's something that happens when you're a nurse, because you can look at a patient, or at least I can, and I know my mom can too, and just know. Like, you're like, Vitals look good. This looks good. But something is off. Like, I'm looking at you, we're having a conversation, your vital signs look great. But I can't shake it. There's something somewhere. And my mom, I always knew that my mom, she would go toe-to-toe with a doctor on no, and she would fight them, and she would, because as a nurse, you're supposed to advocate for your patient, which I do. And I go, and when I was nursing, I did OR nursing and recovery nursing, and I would go toe-to-toe with a doctor. I was an oncology nurse as well, and I would go toe-to-toe with a doctor. Something's not right. Something's not right. You're going to listen to me. Something's not right. And sometimes it would be, just humor me. Come on. And I would be right.
Wow.
So pretty soon we developed those relationships where we trust each other. And my mom had those relationships with every single doctor growing up. They were like, she knows what she's talking about. And so I think my family, you know, Southern Baptists from the South, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to say that they have this thing or this gift or whatever. They're just not going to talk about it. It's like I came out of the proverbial closet or whatever. But I don't talk about it with my mom because she just smiles uncomfortably at me. Giggle. I don't talk about it with my sister. There was a point in time that I could. And then my sister went swinging way, way, way the other way with her Christianity beliefs and her just like almost dogmatic type of thing. And I don't know, as far as she's concerned, she probably thinks that I worship the devil or something, but you know, so I don't really discuss it with my family. So the, you know, family that I have, and I've told you before, is my psychic friends network.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, do people at work know what I do? A few. I'm very selective about how I mix my company at work. And I just know which ones I can tell and which ones I can't, you know?
Right.
I would guess my grandmother probably had some intuitive abilities to her because she just, like I said, mom used to swear that she and I would communicate telepathically when I was little. So, you know, she was like, I don't know what you needed, but she did.
Right. That's amazing. So as you were growing up, what did you discover about yourself that you were able to do intuitively?
I always felt like I had psychometry was a big thing. Like I could walk into my bedroom and know that my sister had been in there, and I could touch something and know what she had touched, and I could know like where to look because something was gone. You know how sisters are like going, they steal whatever, right. You know, and I could walk in my room and go, oh my God. And I would like start looking for the thing and not find it. And then go in her room. And with that little gift where I could find things, I would be like, you bitch, you know, and, like find whatever it was. But I would never say to her, I would never say anything to her. I would just take it back and put it somewhere else and go, now trip on that. For mm-hmm. a minute.
So for those that don't know, can you explain what psychometry is?
Psychometry is the ability to touch something and be able to get a mental image or a picture in your head and see a picture of the energy imprint that was left there. I don't know what your listening population is, but if anybody has ever seen the second Poltergeist, mm-hmm. when the mom pulls out a picture of the creepy AF preacher guy mm-hmm. and puts her hand on it, that's psychometry.
Mm-hmm.
She's feeling the picture and she's getting a story.
And if anyone watches Hollywood Medium, it's Tyler. He is he practices psychometry as well. So he can hold someone's, I would say that's psychometry. He can hold someone's personal belonging and do a reading off of that.
Yes.
Which is very cool. Yeah. So if you guys want to see it in action, you can watch Hollywood Medium, and Tyler does that. So above that or beyond that, what else did you discover along the way?
I definitely have a knack for knowing when people are lying.
Nice.
Like I can't, like it's like, and you know, what they're saying sounds good. And I always get that, oh, maybe I'm wrong. And then I end up not being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I also have a very good intuition, first impression.
Mm-hmm.
So like with you and Marie Rose, I had a really just amazing first impression. And it's weird because I didn't want to like totally fangirl guys, you know, guys or anything, but I really felt like a really good connection. And I'm like, it's really strange how, like, I think I even sent you a reading one time because you just popped in my head. I was like, okay, I'll do it. You know what I mean? I'm like, she's going to be creeped out. And it's like,
no,
white female, stalker, fangirl, what's happening? And I'm like, look, dude, I just follow the flow. Like if I'm being told to do it, I'm be told to do it.
No, so I thought that was actually really cool. And we had already been like kind of hanging out, so to speak, on Instagram. And so when I got that, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I mean, that stuff, I always welcome it. Unless somebody's like, here's a voodoo doll I made of you. That's different. Well, a little different.
Okay.
You're like, check the mail.
Yeah. So Chantel,
well, I'm really happy that you felt that way.
Yeah. So, you know, and I go with those things. So, so it's those first impressions, and those are the ones that are hardest for me because I never really want to believe that someone is lying to me. Although now I'm older and way jaded and I believe that everybody lies to me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm quicker. I'm much faster to believe my gut on those.
Yeah. You trust yourself. That's awesome.
Do I act on it all the time? No, because sometimes it's socially awkward, or sometimes it's just awkward in general, or there's some kind of confrontation that I just don't even want to get into, and you just smile politely and you walk away and you make a note to that person. It's a great, my stepchildren do not know that I can do stuff, but I can tell you what, when my 12-year-old decides that she wants to lie to me, I'm like, you sure you want to do that? And then I trip her out because then I can discover her secrets and I can find out what's happening and I know where to look and blah, blah, blah. And I bust her every time and it freaks her the hell out. And it's an amazing mom gift, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I wish you could just package that up and sell it. I mean, you'd be
right.
You could retire right now.
Right. Because she has really tripped out on me.
Like yeah. Right now. Dole that out to all the moms and dads.
She's like every time. And I was like,
then why do you do it?
I know. I'm just like, look at her and go, I'm just smart. We can do this all day.
I know.
All day.
That's incredible.
So, but yeah, the one thing I think, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything, is my ability, that knowing when I first meet someone, I definitely feel out their energy. And some people know I'm feeling out their energy. But I've gotten now where I absolutely 100% trust it. Mm-hmm. I don't always know what to do with it because sometimes I am in a professional situation. Sometimes I am in a, you know, sometimes I am taking care of a patient. Sometimes I am, you know, in a situation where I can't do anything about
right.
the feeling I'm getting, you know? So yeah, I mean,
yeah, you put it in your little pocket and you move right along.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you can't act on everything that you feel all the time. All you can dial it away.
Right.
Go. Okay. And it is trippy because you get that gut instinct and then, you know, like, let's just say you meet somebody and you're like, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you kind of hang out with them for a while. And after a while you're like, well, maybe they're not that bad. And then later you're like, dang it.
Yeah, you get burned.
Yeah, and then those are the times that I kick myself and I go, you know, that's exactly what you thought about that person. Mm-hmm. And then you felt bad because you thought that about that person because, like, one moment in their life, they were nice to you.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think we're all guilty of doing that. You just, there's something about that, like, that need or that push, maybe it's social, to be, like, uber polite and, I mean, which I'm not saying, like, be a jerk, not in a million years, because that's exhausting too, but it's good. It's important to trust yourself and trust your gut and go with that. And, you know, you can be super friendly without having to be really tight. You don't have to do it.
Right. And this, you know, and this wave of whatever we've got going now with the, everything is love and light. And then, you know, when people are invading your boundaries and you're like, oh, just send them love and light and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, look, if you're going to invade my boundaries, I'm going to send you with an energetic punch to the throat. Back up.
Right.
There is no such, I love and light myself. You, no touchy. Right. You know? You, over there.
Agreed. So we have talked about, now that you are older and you're adulting now, how do you use all of your abilities? Are you, I know you said, like, you, when you're nursing, you can look at somebody and even if they're saying no, it's, you know, the readings are coming back good, blood work's good, whatever it is good, but you just have this feeling. So outside of that, how else are you using your abilities?
Oh, dear me. Well, I've just kicked up, you know, my Instagram with the Ornery Oracle. And the reason that I kicked that up is because I did take a break for a few years because there was just not a, I don't know if I just didn't want to put that much energy into it, mm-hmm. or if I wanted to take a break, or it, because it can be just energetically draining.
Absolutely.
Do this, they're like, hey, so blah blah blah, you know, and you're like, oh my god, back up. And there's just so much out there that you could do. And so I started kicking it back up again and doing readings because I really enjoy doing the readings. And now in my adult life, like I say, I use my gut instinct. There's a lot of times, sometimes just for funsies, going to work in the morning, I have probably two or three different ways that I could go. And sometimes in the morning I go, which one feels the best way this morning? Mm-hmm. You know, and I will, and it sounds silly or simple, but I do that. I definitely feel out the energetics of an area or a room. I feel, you know, I work in a hospital, so that's always fun.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Gosh, it's such a part of me. I have probably more rocks in my bra than a fembot. I mean, just like, I don't know. How do I not use it? Wow. Like, even every piece of jewelry I wear has a purpose.
That's interesting. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, the only ones that, I did not, like, even my husband, he's so sweet. He tries to buy me jewelry and I'm like, oh yay, thanks. And then I'm like, what rock is that? Need that? What do I need that for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to wear that one today. No, I feel like I want to wear this one. So, I, you know, everything that I pick out, from my necklace that I wear that day to the bracelet that I put on to the earrings that I put in, what am I going to need? What do I feel like I need to wear? So, gosh, how do I not use it?
Well, that's actually pretty interesting. Do you find that you communicate with your, let's say, your jewelry, and you ask it, do you want to hang out with me today? Or do you just go off a feel? Like, what is...
I don't ask anymore.
I mean, but you did at one point.
I did. I did, mm-hmm. at one point. But you kind of saw how many rocks that I have. That would be insane. If I listened to the chatter in my room from my rocks all day long, I would probably be crazy. So what I do is a lot of times I'm just given a picture in my head about what I need to find. Like, you know, what tumbled stone I specifically need to have with me that day. And I don't, like, I know the general purpose for a lot of them, but I don't know, like, there's a lot of information in my head. So I don't have room for everything, which is why I have books. So, you know, I'll look up maybe something else and I go, oh, that's why I needed that today. Okay. Gotcha. You know, I've done some meditations and I've kind of walked around my room and I've gotten a picture of the rock in my head that I don't know, wants to be with me when I meditate. Or maybe my guides are saying that I need to have with me when I meditate. And I just walk over and I get it and I sit down and I go, okay, well, you're my buddy. Let's do it. And I don't meditate all the time. I have to move to meditate. I have to do walking meditations. I cannot sit because then I start thinking about how uncomfortable I am. And, you know, and like, I would rather just lay down and take a nap and then wake up in 20 minutes and go, oh my God, did I fall asleep? Whoops. You know? I have to walk. I have to do walking meditations. I have to do movement, meditation movement. So walking or whatever.
So I've never done a walking meditation. I can't get in the zone like that. I need to be still. And I like even being at the beach, I'm like, this just doesn't work for me. Like there are like my go-to is YouTube and I find a good, like something that just is vibing with me in that moment. And I listen to that and it's typically something instrumental and it can't have too much going on. But I mean, there've been times where I've listened to the same track several times in a row in meditations and suddenly there's chatter and I'm like, what the hell? There's like people talking like off in the distance.
And like, yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And I am like, I find that then I can feel myself like almost sitting up more, sitting forward, like really straining to hear. And I'm like, I'm clearly not meant to hear this conversation.
Like, yeah, what's that, Sunny?
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, obviously they don't want me to hear what it is, but then why are you even around me? Get out of here.
Stop chattering around me. Stop mumbling. Use your words.
The movement one, I definitely can't do. But so while we're talking about that, let's talk about your practices with protection. So when you told your ghost story, which hopefully you guys have already heard that, but if you haven't, make sure you check out that episode. So when you talked about your ghost story or not even the ghost story, but the activity that has gone on in the home, you talked about how you are adamant in setting your boundaries, which is so incredible. I love that. I love that you said that and that it's like second nature for you. What do you do to protect yourself and your space? And what advice would you give to others that don't know how to do it? If you could give them like a starting point.
Starting point. I have made actually psychic protection, energetic protection, and things of that nature one of my specialties. It is the thing that I have studied a lot. It is the thing that I have practiced a lot, and it is one of the things that I use in my arsenal every single day. It is probably the one thing besides my intuition that is on point 24/7. I am such a believer in it. So there's quite a few schools of thought on this. I've read lots and lots of different books on it. I've read lots and lots of different opinions on it. And I've had lots of different teachers. And one of my best friends, she and I all the time talk about different things that you can do. But one of the things, and this is a different school of thought than most people. However, one thing for me that's very important is auric protection. So, you know, you have your auric bodies. So you have like your mental body, your spiritual body, your physical body, and everything out. And that makes up your aura. So your aura can be anywhere from
really tight, close to your body. Mm-hmm. To people who practice spiritually, it could be 3 blocks wide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want, you know, Stan Fluffenagel and his drunked out behind walking through my 3 block wide aura and dumping his juju off in my stuff. Right?
Absolutely.
So for me, something that is very, very, very important is auric protection, which means I don't let my stuff hang out. Like, I don't want my muffin top hanging out. I don't want my aura hanging out.
That's right.
So I like the Spanx of aura on and I suck it all in and I keep it in. And if somebody walked up to me with dowsing rods to try to find where my aura was, they would run into me with their dowsing rods. Because my aura stays inside. I keep my energy fields in. I let them out in very protected spaces like my house or when I'm with my friends or whatever. But that is one thing that I do is I keep them in.
And how do you go about doing that?
Intention, right? How do we do anything? It's all about intention. So, I always say, if you can think it, you can dream it, you can do it, you can intend it, then it's done. And I think that's the first thing that people need to know about energy is that thoughts are things, right?
Absolutely.
So if you can think it, then you're doing it. I don't believe in putting a lot of energy and effort into things like that because, oh my God, I'd be tired all day if I felt, you know. So there's certain things you can do. You know, you can say, okay, when I scratch my right eye, my fields will be in. Because something will happen and you'll sneeze or you'll cough or, you know, and you'll get shocked. You'll be surprised. You'll get lazy and your fields fall out. That's fine. Just like, you know, if you sneeze, you pee. It's the same thing. But, you know, you can make little programs for yourself. When I scratch my right eye, my fields go in and I am protected. And you can say, you know, you can program your prayer into that. You can, you know, program your visualization into it. And, you know, like when I scratch my right eye, my fields will be pulled in. And what I mean by this is they will be sealed tight inside me, inside, you know, a golden egg that I place inside my solar plexus. Then it feels safe and warm in there and it will stay in there where nothing can get to it, you know, and I am surrounded in, you know, divine light armament from source, you know, and just make up your own words and then program it into the, you scratching your right eye. So then you don't have to think about it. So if you're out, you know, walking on a ghost tour, you scratch your right eye, you're mm-hmm. good. I don't think I would have the energy or the fortitude to do a lot of ceremony around what I do.
Right. Yeah. And it can be very exhausting.
Yes. Yes. I think you and Marie Rose had talked about that one time. Like it went from meditation with the patchouli, you know, with the incense and with the crystals and with mm-hmm. the candles, and with the music and with the lighting and with the pillow and with the, and I'm like, I'm tired already. You guys are just talking about it and I'm tired.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's such a production just to like sit down.
Yeah.
Such a production.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's why for me, I have to keep moving. So sometimes even washing dishes is meditative.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Yeah, I'm with you. It's all about that intention. And it's, you know, for me, it's just take a quick beat. I can stand there, you know, eyes open, eyes closed, doesn't matter. And it is just an internal dialogue with my people and they know what I need. And I'm like, this is what I got going on today or whatever the case. I ask the same for the people that I love and just for, you know, for their protection and their whatever it is. And
yes,
it's not failed me. I love it.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's quick and it's easy. And I think it becomes overwhelming to people. And I think that's probably why they fail sometimes at a spiritual life. Cause they go, oh my God, I'm doing it wrong. You know? And then they think that it takes this big, huge pomp and circumstance mm-hmm. and ceremony. I wouldn't necessarily say that you're doing it wrong. You just need to be safe.
Agreed. And I would say the only way to do it wrong is to not do it at all.
Yes.
That's
yes.
the or only she, way.
That's the way to do it wrong. You want to do it wrong, get a Ouija board. Now you're really doing it wrong. You are so doing it wrong.
Yeah. Oh my God. But just, I mean, just for anybody that wants to start doing it, that doesn't on the regular, does not do it. Just quick little blurb in your head or whatever the case, stand in the sunshine and do it. Whatever resonates with you, whatever like your is making your vibe happy and raising your vibration. Like that's what it's about and keeping you protected. So nobody is intruding and breaking in.
Exactly. Go and get, you know, hey, gather some of your thunderstorm water and put it in a little spray bottle and mm-hmm. stick it, you know, and just spritz your little self with it, you know, and walk out.
So
whatever.
As you're talking about the storm water, do you, so I know what this is, but for those that don't know what this is, it is basically taking a jar, a container of some sort, and you put it out when there's a storm and you collect this water. It is incredibly potent, super potent. Now, the way I learned to do it is to you set an intention for the water, and you set an intention and you protect the container itself. And we learned it by putting Reiki symbols on it so that it has a very specific purpose. How do you do yours?
You know, for me, it's the way that I think about the storm, because to me, lightning is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about harnessing that power of protection, and, you know, will burn anything in, you know, that comes in my area, you know, and those kind of things. So it's really, again, it's about setting the intention. I don't draw my Reiki symbols on it, or anything. So I make some badass water, because I will take my thunder water and put some cold water in it and some black salt. And then I'm like, okay, bring it.
So can you repeat that? Because you cut out for a second. You said you'll take your storm water.
I'll do my storm water. And then I have some holy water that I got. Not Catholic, but I got some, because everybody should have some holy water. I'm just saying. So, and I put a little holy water in it, put a few little drops of holy water in it, and I put some salt in there. And there you go. That's my mixture. So
did you say you put black salt in
it? I use black salt. Okay. I do use black salt. But you can put whatever salt, because, you know, people will put salt around their windows and, you know, and things like that for protection. So you can just put your salt in there, whatever you want to do. And yeah, it's basically, you know, for me, it's like ghost raid.
Yeah, you know? It's true. It is like, so I haven't done it in a long time, and Marie and I were just talking about this, but the way I used to use it is I would collect this and, you know, go through the whole thing of, you know, before putting the jar outside. And mm-hmm. when I would collect it, put it in the spray bottle, it would be to spray the property line, like up against mm-hmm. the house, and then the line around the house, like the actual property line. Mm-hmm. And all the while setting the intention of protection and casting out anything that does not belong, anything with a low vibration, and only mm-hmm. allowing the highest vibrations to be in my space, and only when I say that it's okay.
Yes.
So kind of like when we talk about saging, you know, smudging an area mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, the smoke would... It is the conduit to carry those things out, bring in the good, keep out the mm-hmm. bad. Kind of the same thing. This is just another method, and it really is a kick-ass one. It is very potent. Yeah. Very potent.
Yeah. I put it in, you know, one of those little garden spray bottles that just spray mm-hmm. it everywhere, you know, and I spray it in the corners of all my rooms. I spray it like you would air freshener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my husband's like, why is the carpet wet? Nah. Why do you ask me weird things? You know, weird stuff is going to happen when I'm here.
Don't ask questions.
Like it's better for you if you just don't ask questions, because then I don't have to say weird things to you. You know, every day when I get into my office, I grab my little bottle and I spray all the corners. And this is every day that I walk into my office. You would think that it would stay clear, but it doesn't, because of the property that I live on, that I work on. I work in a hospital that has, I have an office in a building that's been a hospital since the 50s.
It's attached to another building that has been a hospital since the 60s, which is attached to another hospital that has been three or four different hospitals since the 50s. You know, there's a lot of trauma in my office.
And even if it weren't a hospital and hadn't been a hospital since, you know, the beginning of SAND, it mm-hmm. still would be a building that had been in place for many, many decades. And yeah. no matter how you cut it, there's still a lot of activity. A lot of what I mean by activity is actual physical people walking around yeah. for years and years and years on end. And they walk in there with all of their mm-hmm. baggage and leave little fragments.
Yep. And so I get there before everybody else, which is creepy AF, by the way.
Oh, I believe you.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to turn on the lights. It sounds so stupid, but I don't really want to turn on the lights because I don't want anybody to know that I'm there that early, like a crazy person. But I also don't want to turn on the lights just because it's kind of nice to have that peace before I get to the door. But I run from the door that I have to unlock in our administrative assistant's office, and I run down the hall to my office and I close the door.
Okay. A little morning jog.
You know, because I don't know. It used to be a hospital. I don't know what died there. So, and I don't want to know. But I start immediately with my bottle. And I get my bottle out, and that's the first thing that I do in my office. And I spray my office on the inside. And then I spray all the corners. I spray the doorway. And then I go, okay, I actually spray myself because it's just underwater, right? So, and then I go in the hallway and I spray my hallway that leads to my door. And I go, okay, now I'll go back in my office and close the door.
That is a really good idea. I have sprayed my office like not even a handful of times because I'm usually just so busy and not thinking about it, and I am blocking everything else out. And I'm like, nope, I don't have time.
But that's my routine. But see, that's my routine.
And that's a great routine.
It's part of my routine, just like I brush my teeth, because did I forget to do it once? Oh, no, I forgot to do part of my routine one time. And that day in the office, it was horrible. People were just acting crazy and mean and just straight up stupid. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And then I sat down and I thought about my day. I was like, oh, huh. Well, maybe that's it. You know, because you still try to debunk yourself.
Right.
Is that why that's happening? Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Well, let's try not to forget that tomorrow then. You know?
It's a really good practice, though. I'm so impressed that you have made this second nature and you do it every single day, because I know I definitely don't. And Marie is a lot better about it. I mean, she is religiously just, you know, carrying a crystal with her or whatever the case. And I think mm-hmm. I've gotten to a really comfortable place where mm-hmm. I know now how to handle so many things that I didn't know how to handle before.
Yeah.
And it just is who you are. And I am so used to having these conversations in my head, or like, I just, you know, I don't have to turn around to know that somebody's standing behind me. I don't have to,
yep.
You know, like I can see it. I know it's there, and yep. So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I just need to get better at making that part of my practice, because it is never a bad idea to just, you know, take extra precautions, just like, you know, calling your auto insurance company and saying, hey, I would like to increase my coverage. Never a bad thing.
So, you know, and it's really funny that you say that, you know, carrying crystals, and it's weird because I don't carry crystals for my protection. I carry crystals because my crystals pretty much assault other people's energy. It's nice. Not like, it's like I carry crystals that are like, stop, who goes there? I don't think so. You know, so I know that sounds weird, but does that sound weird?
No, it actually, it's like
it really does. It just keeps the people that don't need to be around me away from me.
Yeah. It sounds like a very tangible version of, you know, say you're like spiritual crew.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like. So no, that doesn't sound weird to me.
Yeah.
It's been effective enough that I've had people at work that have just been like really awful human beings. Like they don't even speak to me now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And other people are like, well, such and such isn't even speaking to you. I was like, great, it's working. And then I walk off. I'm like, that's awesome. It's
good working. Job, crystals.
Yeah. Like everything I'm doing in the morning, short of sticking that pin in your voodoo doll head, is working.
So if you could only like, you could only pick one crystal to carry for the rest of your living days, what would it be?
If I had to pick one crystal for the rest of my living days.
I know.
Okay. See, this is where I would be stuck between. You can't give me two, huh? I would be stuck between a quartz, a clear quartz, because I could program that bitch with anything that I needed at any point in time.
It's like a chameleon.
Yeah. It could totally be anything. Like today it could be something, tomorrow it could be something else.
See, then you don't need two options. You just need the one.
Well, because I love the properties of black obsidian.
Oh, so do I.
That is my spiritual badass right there, because it will reflect stuff. You don't even have to do anything. It just reflects the juju that people are throwing at you right back at them. I mean, it is like instantaneous. If you're going to throw shade, you're going to get shade. If you're going to throw me some love, you're going to get some love. Mm-hmm. So it's like that. I don't know. It's like that karmic stone. But I'm sure I could program a clear quartz crystal to, you know, embody those.
Well, then let's say this then. Let's say that the clear quartz doesn't count as one, because the cool thing about that one is that it, like you said, you can almost turn it into anything that you want it to be. And it is an amplifier. Which is also very, very cool. So carry it with something else, and you better be really, really sure that you know what you're asking for.
Because it is
an amplifier.
And honestly, when I look around my room and I go, what do I have the most of? I cannot turn down a clear quartz. I got to tell you.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Quartz. So that's mostly what I'm drawn to. That's mostly where I go. Points, quartz points. You know, wands, anything. So that's usually what I resonate with. But yeah, I think if I had to right now, I would tell you black obsidian, because that one and I are just, we're hanging pretty tight these days. I mean, maybe when I first got started, if I had to carry something with me, it would have been an amethyst.
Oh, and I love an amethyst.
Yeah, I've got so many of those. And then somewhere in the middle of my practice, so in the middle years of my practice, I would say that it would have been fluorite, green purple fluorite. So that one I would have been like, where's my fluorite? So I have a lot of fluorite pieces because of that. And you know, another really good one that's just kind of an all-purpose one, that's great for protection and it never needs cleaning or clearing, which is amazing to me because inherently I am lazy, is blue kyanite. That's always a good one because it keeps all chakras aligned and you don't have to clean it. And it, you know, it resonates with the angelic realms. And so you're like, yeah, that one's pretty good too. So I have a few of those. So it depends on where I am. I think it just kind of depends on where I'm at in my practice and what I need, what I feel like I need.
And that's a good way to look at it. So you have your aura on lockdown in a golden egg in the solar plexus.
Well, I'm not gonna tell you how I have my aura in lockdown because privacy is protection, my friend. So
it's somewhere. It's hidden away.
Somebody wanted to do that. That's perfectly acceptable. Yes.
So you have it on lockdown. You have the storm water. That is the badass storm water. You have the crystals. You have, you know, pretty much your arsenal is set up. How often do you find someone sneaks into that? And what I mean by that is energies on a different plane. How often do you find that there's someone lingering around in your space or following you or whatever the case, and you have an interaction with someone in a different plane that you, that's not welcome, that hasn't been invited?
Yeah. So if someone from a different plane is coming for me, it's not just a nasty ghost. It's big, bad, and serious, which is probably why I feel the need to do all the things that I do. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that I've learned over the years that are higher protection than just the crap that hangs out on this planet. And that stuff, and I'm not trying to be snobbery or anything like that, but that stuff that is definitely not for the faint of heart. It is not for your casual practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely not to be taken lightly. So those are the things that I kind of keep to myself unless I have, you know, my serious friends and the serious. And I don't even, you know, like I don't even teach that stuff. I talk about it with my friends that I know are able to be on that level and are able to understand the gravity of that level. So for me, if they're coming for me or coming to get me, it's usually when I'm sleeping. So it's usually in dream time or dream state. But I am so programmed with something that I've done for so many years that they're not there for very long. They're not there for very long because even in my dream state, there are things that are so programmed into me that I can do them in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wake up in the morning tired and go, did I do something last night or something? What's happening? Just tired. But in my dream, I will have, I had sleep paralysis a couple of, like maybe last week, I guess. I had sleep paralysis and I could barely do what I needed to do, but I did it. I was able to do it, you know, but it was like that paralysis kind of.
And that's a creepy feeling.
It's a very creepy feeling. But like I said, I've been doing this practice for so long because like I said, with my little possessed bunny over there, you know, like right before that was the dream. And that's about the only time. That's really it. Is I have to be unconscious for them to, and even when I'm unconscious, apparently I'm conscious. So
in your waking hours, you don't find that there are any, you don't have times when people just kind of sneak through and say, hey, I'm in your space now.
Yeah. And when they do, I go, get out. I ain't got time for that.
So let me ask you, what do you think happens? Because this is something that it's an answer I'm on the hunt for. And I don't think there's definitely not one answer.
Okay.
What do you think is going on? What in your opinion happens when we are so protected? And let's say we've gone through our little spiel in our mind. We are strapped up with black obsidian and the quartz, and we have a ring of salt around us, and still somebody slips through. Like, what do you think is going on?
What I think is going on is that you've got something more powerful, and definitely not from any of this plane. Because when we talk about rocks, when you talk about that, when we talk about those things, you have to talk about the things that exist. So you have to talk about the mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional levels of things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about this reality. You have to talk about alternate realities. You have to talk about this dimension. You have to talk about alternate dimensions. You have to talk about this time. You have to talk about no time. You have to talk about the spaces and places where time doesn't exist and it's not a thing.
Right, because it's pretty much like our place is where it exists.
So, but not necessarily.
Right. No, I know.
This is where like that quantum physics comes in.
And this is super loaded. This is a super loaded question.
This is our reality, and this is the realm to which we are working. However, we are an energetic being that exists on more energetic levels than just this. So energy cannot be created nor destroyed. So we are an energetic, we are an infinite energetic being. We have an awareness that we are existing in this moment and this time because we have been programmed with a time frame and we have been programmed with the gravity of this planet. That is to say, the actual gravity, like Newton's gravity of this planet and the heaviness of this planet. But that doesn't explain how the energetic of our mind can go somewhere else, can meditate, can be here, can be there, can be in the other things. Because there are energetic pieces of us that are infinite. And so there are energetic pieces of us that are in other places that we're not mindful of. But along with those energetic pieces of ourselves are higher energetic pieces of something else that can get to that piece and then connect it all the way back to us on this planet. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that are smarter than this human form that we have.
Oh, yes.
And so I think those of us that really search to tap into these energetics that are and believe that we have these energetics that are all over the place, that's what makes us more vulnerable to those energetics. Because they're like, uh-oh, she knows. Jigs up. But and I say they, because, I mean, I have to name an enemy, right? But if they can get to us in one of our most vulnerable energetic incarnations, which would be this one, I think, because we're really heavy here. And there's a lot going on here that I don't feel like goes on in other spaces. I feel like if they're trying to defeat us at some other higher level, one way to get to that is to link to that energy and try to get us when we're here mm-hmm. on this planet at our lowest level. Does that make sense?
It does. And I would say even at our lowest level, we still shine very bright.
Oh, yes.
And they're super attracted to that.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Anything here that can come into this, into our awareness here, they're like, ah, hell. Damn it. They're like, damn it. Really? So it's not that they're just attracted to it to they're not, they're the brighter that we get, it's not to F with us. It's to take us out because they don't want us linking up with other people like us. They don't want us talking to each other. They don't want us learning. They definitely don't want me going, mm-hmm. hey, so there's energetic pieces of us all over. And like, so there's this thing and this stuff and this thing, because there are things that we speak, there's that we say, that we know. And that's why I'm always like, you know, privacy is your biggest protection. You know, with certain things, you just lock down. The brighter that we get, they know that we're becoming more knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. They know what we're like on other planes. They know why we're here, you know, and the first thing that they want to do is keep us from doing what we were sent here to do. So as we start getting shinier and shinier, they're like, crap, she's closer, mm-hmm. crap. And then, you know, their best hope is that whatever has happened to us here is that fear and that we just keep it and we're going to go with it and that we won't push through it and get pissed and we won't push through it and, you know, move on. They're hoping that we'll fall off the path and not get back on and turn our backs and, you know, that kind of thing. So, and not talk to people about it and keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Which is fine. You can keep it to yourself. I mean, hell, build your crystal grid in your closet. That's fine. Who cares? You know, you're still doing what you were sent here to do.
Exactly. Agreed. Well said. And that is it's a lot of information. I know you guys are, your eyes are probably crossing, but you don't have to absorb all of that. You don't have to understand all of that. This is not the only existence.
No, we're multidimensional beings.
Yes, we are.
having a conscious awareness of this existence.
Yes. There you go.
See, people words.
And even that is just super twisty. So yeah. Moving right along. For a beginner, what would you advise a start from scratch kindergartner to do to protect themselves?
To protect themselves, start from scratch kindergartners.
Yeah, just like a something easy that somebody can practice every day, and then later they can graduate on their own.
The easiest thing to do, honestly, is to, I would say, picture yourself, inside a box, and just create, this a box that looks like a safe, or something,
and just like a panic room,
some sort of container. Put yourself in a container.
Yeah.
This is the easiest thing. Put yourself in a container and make it whatever color you want it to be. And say, I'm going to put myself in this neon green container that reflects everything that's not for my highest good. Done.
Yep. That's a really good one. That is a very good one.
Play with colors. See which one you gravitate to make, make yourself a rainbow glitter container. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that, just really get used to seeing or feeling what those colors make you feel like, and just figuring out what you want it to do and have some fun with it. Cause if you say it and you picture it and you intend it, so it is, yep.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Anyone starting off that wants to tap into abilities they may have, they're starting from scratch, what would you say would be a good step number one?
Oh, see, now I'm going to say something a little taboo because she has gone in the other direction completely and totally.
I think I know who you're going to talk about.
Right. But that was the first book that I started with. I don't even know if I want to say it out loud. So we'll leave it as a mystery. But that is the very first book that I started with, Lightworker's Way. And I find that still to this day, I love that for people that are starting off.
Is that a Doreen book?
It is a Doreen book. And it's called The Lightworker's Way. And I was like, dang it, I still like that for people. I don't even know if you can get it anymore because she's gone the other direction completely.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, we're talking about Doreen Virtue. And Doreen Virtue was, I don't know if she still is, but she was with Hay House for a very, very, very long time. And I think she may have been there from like the beginning with Louise Hay. And she was huge into in the spiritual world. I mean,
she started the angel cards.
Yes.
That was her.
Yeah, she did angel cards, and I have some, and they're incredibly beautiful. And so she did those, and she did a lot of seminars and teachings and really helping people to advance and come along and trust themselves intuitively, and a lot. I mean, I used to follow her, and I would watch her videos like every week on YouTube with the new, the reading for the week. And I was like, oh my God, Doreen. I was such a fan. And I mean, not that I'm not anymore, but I just, once she started making the switch, it wasn't really just my vibe anymore. So
either
I got away from it, but no, I still think she's great.
I still use her cards, whatever.
Yeah.
My first deck. And I still use them. So as far as beginning crystals, I recommend the Crystal Bible by Judy Hall. Mm-hmm. Some beginning protection as well. Judy Hall has a psychic protection book, which is pretty easy to jive with. She has a lot of visualizations in there that just a lot for me. But what I do like about Judy is she has a conscience, and she will say, don't do anything to anybody that you're not willing to get back.
Yep.
Because karma's a thing, So Judy Hall has a book. I believe it's called The Art of Psychic Protection. I'm looking at it, and I believe that it is Judy that wrote that. Judy Hall's Crystal Bible. I like that one a lot. So that's a very good beginning source for your crystals. again, I'm going to say just a baby starting off, I think it's important that you understand some of the lingo. So what is a light worker? What is a, you know, what is a psychic? What is a medium? And sorry, Doreen, but I know you don't want your book promoted, but Lightworker's Way, I still think is a very nice, gentle introduction. I don't always believe in what Doreen does because she is very, when she was doing that, she was very much like unicorns, rainbows, and everybody's throwing candy at everybody.
Right.
That's not the world that I live in. You know, so those are really my baby beginner stuff.
That's good. Those are really great suggestions. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Those are my baby beginner stuff, which is, they're all very easy to read, easy to do. And you can even get the Crystal Bible, P.S. by the way, on your Kindle app. So just like tag everybody, like Amazon, Kindle, Crystal Bible, Judy Hall. Hashtag.
Yeah, and I'll make sure I link it for you guys in the notes, the show notes, so you guys know what books we're talking about. And one of the ones I like is, I have the Complete Crystal Handbook from Cassandra Eason. That's another really good one. And it has post-its all over.
Yeah.
Because yes. I'm like, I have this one and this is what it means. And this
Is it. Because you can get Crystal Bible, you can get it on your Kindle app, which is really nice because then you really fast if you need to find something. I have also is now the original books that started with that was Love Is in the Earth by Melody.
I haven't heard that one.
Pictures. They were written so long ago. They don't even have pictures. I think they were written in the 70s and they were channeled works. And if you look in the credits of every single other Stone book after that, they will credit Melody.
Nice.
So those are really old. They don't have any pictures. So you're like, what does that look like? I don't recommend those to anybody unless you're very familiar with your stones. The other book that I have is The Book of Stones by Robert Simmons and Nausea Ashian, something like that. Anyway.
Those are good starters. Yeah.
Yes. I would go with Judy Hall for starters. The Book of Stones is something. He starts having some stuff in there that's really hard to get hold of. He's really into Moldavite, which is kind of expensive, but, you know, that's his thing.
So there you go, you guys. If you're starting off and you want to know how to start off, those are some really good resources. If you want to know how to protect yourself every day, some really basic things you can do. Other good resources that we talked about, and you know, never hesitate to reach out if you have questions, because I'm happy to answer them. And why don't you tell us how everybody can get a hold of you if they have some questions, want to get a reading, because you do this as the Ornery Oracle.
I do. So I am on Instagram and Instagram only, people, because I can't do the Facebook. I don't have time to do the Twitter. So you can find me on Instagram at the Ornery Oracle, O-R-N-E-R-Y, Oracle, O-R-A-C-L-E. Did I spell that right? Dear Jesus, I hope I spelled that right. My email address is orneryoracle731@gmail.com. And if you just, you know, DM me on Instagram or send me an email, I will get back to you. And then we can do readings. I do readings and healings, distant healings. I do animal communications. Gosh, golly gee. I don't know what don't I do? Ooh, I can't read a crystal ball. I'm trying though.
Nor I. I am not trying, however. I don't really care to read one right now. Down the road, it'll be on my list.
Well, you'll probably be very successful at it because you have a very clear clairaudience, so you physically can see things. So I am definitely a mind's eye kind of girl. So I think you will probably have great success, but I will give you a piece of advice. Do not limit yourself to just the clear quartz crystal balls. There's great success to be had with calcite and really? window. Oh, yeah, because those suckers can be so clear sometimes with great occlusions, window calcite. Oh, yeah. They're beautiful. In fact, I have better success with my calcite crystal ball than I do any of my quartz crystal balls.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. So you told us that you use your abilities in your current profession, which is nursing. Mm-hmm. If you had the choice to use your current or all of your abilities in another profession, what would that be?
Like, does it have to be a normal profession?
No. Or can I, you could be a unicorn wrangler, like whatever you want to be.
That would be so nice. But honestly, I think I would be a writer.
A unicorn writer or an actual writer?
Like a writer. Like an author? Writer, not a R-I-D-E-R. Because I know my accent is terrible. It's that Florida accent. You know what happens. But a writer. W-R-I-T-E-R. Writer.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think I would. I don't know.
I think you should.
Or some sort of orator. Or I don't know. Maybe I just pontificate. Oh, look at my big words. Big words.
That I love that word. It's one of my favorites. That and is fisticuffs. Really? Yeah.
Ooh, fisticuffs. That's a good
one. I love fisticuffs. It's one of my favorites. That is a good
one. Yeah. I like that one. I like to use ilk every once in a while.
Ilk. Oh my God. I don't even know that I've heard that.
Yeah. He is not of the ilk.
What is that? Is that from Game of Thrones?
Like, no. I've never watched that actually.
It's so good.
Don't tell me we can't be friends.
No.
I just, like, we're still friends.
Barely. We're still friends, barely.
I actually like Harlots. I like Harlots. Have you ever watched that?
It's on Hulu. I haven't.
It's amazing. Amazing.
So you would be a writer, like, of books or articles or magazines or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
If somebody would pay me money to do that, I would be happy just to write words for you.
That is interesting.
Fisticuffs. Just to see if I could.
It's a good word.
It is a good word. God, but you got to find reasons to use it.
Well, I mean, let's use it in a sentence right now. I have been pontificating throwing fisticuffs.
Ah, right? I too have been pontificating the use of the word fisticuffs.
It's but good, right? It's good.
Ilk. I am not of the ilk to be able to manage.
Wait, you didn't even tell us what ilk means.
Oh, it's like I am not of the strength of character, not of that strength type thing. I am not of the ilk. Hmm. Do that.
Interesting. Interesting. So, yeah. I like it.
It's a weird word. It's almost like one of those words from back in the day, you know.
That's why I thought Game of Thrones.
They were courting each other. We were courting.
That's why I thought Game of Thrones. Yeah. It sounds like it belongs in the North.
It does. I don't know. It's probably some crazy ass Southern word that my grandma used or something. I don't know.
So what is your favorite hobby?
Right now, I guess you could say one of my hobbies or guilty pleasure is right before you called me, I was catching up on episodes of Haunted Towns because I have watched all of The Ghosts of Morgan County.
I haven't even heard of these shows. You guys, it is, I like to say it's a dark and stormy night, or it was a dark and stormy night, and it is literally a dark and stormy night right now.
So if you go on the Travel Channel, there are these shows. There's one called Ghosts of Morgan County, which is amazing.
Wait, this one. Oh no, that's not the show I'm thinking. Never mind. I haven't watched Travel Channel in a while. Like we've just been like streaming everything and binge watching all kinds of stuff. So I need to get back to the Travel Channel. But I think I was thinking briefly the show with, what was that show? Do you remember the show where they go to it's like the whole town is haunted?
Oh, no. That's a different one.
So that's your guilty pleasure as you've been watching this.
Yeah. So I'm back into my... And Ancient Aliens. So,
okay. So your guilties are Ghosts of Morgantown?
Morgan County,
Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And if you can.
Haunted Towns.
And Haunted Towns.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you could have your dream job and use your abilities in that dream job, it would be as a writer, not a rider.
Yes. Don't want to ride.
If you could carry one crystal with you for the rest of your living days, we're not going to count the clear quartz. It would be the black obsidian.
Yes. Right now it would be. Yes.
And what else do you want everybody to know about you? Like, is there anything else that you want to tell us about yourself? Because that's just good, clean fun right there, all that stuff.
You know, I think it's, I do take this stuff seriously. It is not something that I do as a fad. It is not something that I take lightly. If you have a reading with me, and if you're doing, if you consult my services, that is to say, I'm a very casual person. I'm a funny person, and I will be very real with you, and I drop a lot of F-bombs. But I take what I do seriously and earnestly, because I would hope that it would bring someone the guidance or answers that they need that they can't possibly hear right now. But also I hope that it would open them to do things for themselves and learn how to do it themselves and not treat it as a fad. There's a whole thing that's happening right now that it's very, everything is woo woo, as you call it, attached to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Thing is very, oh, so I went to the store and I got this crystal and I put it on my desk and everything is just fabulous now.
That's how that works, ma'am.
Yeah. So I don't glamorize this at all. When I do a reading, it's not, oh, hey, girls, we're out, you know, bachelorette party. Let's go and do a reading. You know, wouldn't that be fun? No, I take what I do seriously. I take it as someone earnestly needs some guidance. It's not bubblegum pop to me. It is real. So, but I'll definitely laugh with you and drop some F-bombs while I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but with a definite level of respect. I totally get what you're saying.
Definitely. You know, I try to make it relatable and I don't hold anything back. I don't hold any punches. So if somebody's calling and they're expecting to get the bubblegum reading and everything's going to be rainbows and things like that, I definitely tell you the truth. I definitely will tell you if there's something that comes up that you don't want to hear, it's wrong to say I don't care. I do care, but I'm going to be honest with you.
And that's good. That's a good practice. So one last question. All of the work that you do, all of the things that you experience, all of the things that you ward off, what is your number one go-to raise your vibration and scrub yourself clean so you're feeling sparkly again? What's your number one?
It's so simple. At the end of my day, I come straight in the door and I go straight to the shower. And the minute the water hits me, I say clear.
That is a good one. I really like that. My number one go-to raise my vibration and feel like uber fantastic is also incredibly simple. And it is lounging on the couch with my boyfriend and we binge watch like whatever. And it could be HGTV. It could be some superhero show or movie. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's just like spending time with him because he has such incredible uplifting and positive energy.
Yeah.
And we're surrounded by our dogs. We're chilling at home. And that makes me like, it doesn't really matter what crappy day I've had, that will spark me up in no time.
Yes. And I am the opposite. Besides being like the clear, the other thing that somebody could do for me is every human being that is in my house can get the F out for like 6 hours and leave me by myself.
Yeah, sometimes that's really good. Just some alone time.
Mine's pretty much all the time. Mine's pretty much all the time. Like, are you?
If
okay?
You could just not live here, that'd be great.
There are too many people in this house. What happens, honey, when you have a family? And I was like,
I don't like it.
I just, cats and a dog, please.
That's all I need. Well, Shay, tell us one more time where we can find you on Instagram and via email and anything else you want to tell all of our friends to the show.
So you can find me on Instagram at the Ornery Oracle, and you can email me at orneryoracle731@gmail.com. And please go ahead and reach out and please promote The Medium Matters on all of your social media thingies, because this is an amazing show. They are very knowledgeable. They do their research and they have a good platform. So I think that all of these little things need to be supported, and join their Patreon page, because I am going to promote that as well, because everything that they do comes out of their pocket. They do not have sponsors, and they're doing what they can to get the word out. And they really are just a great little group of girls. And it really is just like talking to family and friends and just laughing. I find myself laughing all the time. So, you know, support The Medium Matters. Check out some of the other podcasts that they promote on their show, because those two are amazing and funny and along the same lines. I've checked out most of them. And they are now, I have downloaded them as well. So do what you can to support those people that are trying to make their way on their own and find their own creativity. So those are really just kind of the things.
Well, I super appreciate that. I really am glad that you got the script I sent you. I will send you your payment soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All those words.
You might want to take that out. You might want to edit that.
I really do appreciate that. It is a labor of love for sure. And I can't say enough great things about Marie for sticking with me and taking everything I throw at her and just saying, okay.
Oh, God.
She's a trooper.
I know. She's like, I'm going to go home and I'm just going to sage everything that I own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then everything. I'm going to drink the holy water.
Yeah,
okay.
Clear my browser history. And yeah, she's only had the one breakdown so far. So I think we're doing well. So I really do appreciate all of that. I love doing this show. I love everything, even the long nights. And I mean, it's all totally worth it. I love it so much. So I am very thrilled that it is so well received, and for everybody that it, you know, that vibes with it. I'm so thrilled to have you guys as part of the family, and that I got to spend this time with you, because we've interacted so much on Instagram. And I, like I said, I look forward to reading those, the cards or the posts that you put out there every morning, at least, you know, weekdays. And it is such a part of my routine now. Yay. You know, like you do your clear at the end of the day, and in the morning you, mm-hmm. you know, wrap up your aura. And for me, it's like, I need to read this and then my day can get started. So I super appreciate you as well. I appreciate all of your love and support for the Medium Matters podcast and for all the other shows that we have been loving. This is how the word gets spread. So we will definitely, I will definitely keep promoting you as well, because I totally stand behind your belief system as well, and just really appreciate you and your friendship. So I'm so thrilled that you got to be here and we did this together. We finally got to spend some time together and talk about the creepy stuff that goes on and all of the great things, your experiences and the great routines and methods that you have. So I'm so happy that we have another perspective now, and all of our friends and family to the show now have new resources and things to go to, new outlets. So that's what it's about.
Yes. And hey, we should get together and do some kind of something in St. Augustine.
Yes.
And then maybe we can do a show maybe you can do a show from St. Augustine, some creepy place.
Yeah, because we're both in
Florida. Should I bring Carla? Because if I bring Carla, like, stuff's going to go down.
Listen, bring her, because we need it.
will go down.
We need it. Yeah, we'll definitely plan something, because it's on my list. I definitely want to go and check it out. That is like the place that's always in like the top 10 is St. Augustine.
Oh, always.
Yeah, always. So thank you again, Shay, for being with us. I am so, so thrilled. And, you know, we'll see each other tomorrow on social media.
Yes. And I may be a little late. I do actually have the day off, so I'm going to kind of sleep in a little bit.
You know what? I am also going to be off tomorrow because I have a lot of stuff to get done. So I am taking the day off. Yeah. And that's going to be that. So thank you so, so much. I loved having you on. I hope you have an awesome day off and weekend. And until next time, my friend, I hope you have a very extraordinary and supernatural day, week, weekend, month, all that good stuff.
You too, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Friends, that's our episode with the lovely Shay. We hope you enjoyed this intuitive content as much as we did. Thank you guys again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more Halloween love. Turn on those notifications and be sure to tag me in your Media Matters posts for a very special boss type shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. Want the VIP treatment all the live long October? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join today. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. Remember, guys, 5 stars. 5 stars. With that, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel, same kick-ass October. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.